Spokane, 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. One man is in custody after authorities say he shot and killed two Israeli embassy staffers as they left the Capitol Jewish Museum last night. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish elected official in the U.S., spoke on the Senate floor today.
Such a blatant and targeted act of anti-Semitism right here in the nation's capital should outrage everybody.
The FBI now focusing on the suspect's online posts, apparently against the Israel-Hamas war. Those murders also raising questions about security amid heightened threats due to the war. In California, at least two people are dead after a plane crashed into a military housing unit in a San Diego neighborhood earlier today. Authorities say no one on the ground was killed, but eight others were injured. A federal judge in Boston blocking the Trump administration's efforts to dismantle the Education Department, saying only an act of Congress can close an agency. On Wall Street, stocks ending mixed for the day. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Following a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development, Governor Tony Evers has renewed calls for support from the state legislature. Republican state lawmakers removed over 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Governor Evers also highlighted a new lawsuit against the Trump administration seeking to stop cuts to AmeriCorps. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that they have until the end of the month to apply for a 2025 elk hunting license. DNR officials say the elk population reached a record high of 544 last year. Due to the increased population, they're recommending a quota of 4 bulls and 5 antlerless elk in the central herd. The 2025 elk hunting season will open on October 18th. Applications can be submitted online, and the drawing for the licenses is random, so all applicants will have an equal chance of being selected. The Hayward Community School Board voted to approve an increase in lunch prices for the next school year. At their meeting on Monday, the school board received a report from the district food service provider, finding about 43% of students were getting school breakfast and 55% were getting school lunch. With increasing costs combined with things like absences and snow days, the food service provider reported a roughly $100,000 loss. Price increases will range from about $1.50 to nearly $3 for students. As Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald prepares to leave the agency, he's put his full support as his replacement behind Captain Darren Hodek. Sheriff Fitzgerald announced his intent to resign effective June 1st to pursue another opportunity in the private sector with Mosaic Technologies. Governor Tony Evers opened the application process to fill the position through the remainder of the term, ending in January of 2027, soon after. Captain Hodek officially introduced himself as a candidate for the position at a Barron County board meeting earlier this week. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scheduled to open a four-game series tonight in Pittsburgh that continues over the weekend. Yesterday, they lost to Baltimore 8-4 in extra innings and had to bring in Tyler Alexander again to close the game.
I was ready to go today. I mean, even though it was emergency and before the 11th, after McGill threw, it's tough losing no matter what. So that's never fun. And as close as this ball game was, it definitely hurts to lose.
The crew is back in Milwaukee on Monday, Memorial Day, against the Red Sox. At the NFL meetings, owners deciding not to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. Meanwhile, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked, did they think about bringing receiver Davante Adams back to Green Bay?
Anytime you have a player of that caliber, there's definitely conversations that go into it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. He is the ultimate competitor and he treats practice like it's game day.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and more mild today, with high temperatures scraping the mid-60s. Clear skies tonight, we crash crisp down to the mid-30s. There's a ton of sunshine on tap for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday, with high temperatures getting slightly warmer, making it to the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow. Also, Peter Rapine from EFOM's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwalba.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday afternoon. We have a boatload of news. Of course, we're going to be talking about the big, brutal bill that was adopted on the narrowest of margins last night in the dead of night while America was sleeping. The MAGA regime in the House of Representatives enacted the biggest cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and emergency food assistance in our nation's history to deliver trillions in tax cuts to people who don't need them. We will discuss especially what are called, the technical term here, are the manager amendments. These are the amendments that are asserted at the very last things, the very last little tweaks to a bill that is enacted or introduced by the, quote, manager of the bill, typically the representative that introduced the bill, a bunch of crud in there. We're going to get to that, but there's a bit of breaking news. And as your legal eagle on the air here during the weekdays, of course, you got Jim Santel, my fine guest frequently on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, his show called Amicus, a law review. But I'm your legal eagle Monday through Friday. Let me share with you breaking news. Now, we are all aware of the Trump administration bungling about with all kinds of crazy personnel decisions. We know that Donald Trump has threatened to potentially try to, I don't know, maybe fire Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve. We know that Donald Trump has been purging people left and right throughout the ranks of the federal government. Well, some of those purges included firings from the National Labor Relations Board. This is important. What does the NLRB do? It reviews disputes between people that are trying to organize into a union, the actual organized unions and employers. It is essential, though. Republicans have been whittling away at labor protections and the power of the NLRB for decades, read since Nixon. So Donald Trump fired a pair of people from the NLRB. That, of course, was challenged in court. The district court found that the removal, which it says in statute needs to be for cause, meaning you can't just fire them because you don't like them or they won't sign some sort of imaginary loyalty pledge to the orange man in chief. He didn't provide any reason for their firing. He just fired them. So the district court found, yep, that's illegal. The appeals court said, yep, that's illegal. Oh, but no, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court just moments ago approving a stay of those prior findings of the lower court. So in other words, allowing the firings to proceed pending final adjudication on the merits. I want to read a little portion of this interim Supreme Court order because the technicalities here are really, really important. Pretty technical. If you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am a lawyer and an economist. This is the kind of stuff that I like to dig my teeth into. Here is the Supreme Court's order from just within the last hour. The application, well, let me start here. The government applied for a stay of orders from the district court and the appeals court enjoining, i.e. preventing, the president's removal of a member of the NLRB and this other related Merit Systems Protection Board. The president is prohibited by statute from removing these officers except for cause, and no qualifying cause was given. You think, okay, well, he can't fire him then. Oh, no. Supreme Court has a few tricks up its sleeve. They continue. The application for stay presented to the Chief Justice and referred by him to the court is granted because the Constitution vests the executive power in the president. He may remove without cause executive officers who exercise executive power on the president's behalf, subject to narrow exceptions recognized by our precedents. The stay reflects our judgment that the government is likely to show that both the NLRB and the MSPB exercise considerable executive power. But we don't ultimately decide the final question, blah, 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 blah. It goes on. The stay also reflects our judgment that the government faces greater risk of harm from an order allowing a removed officer to continue exercising the executive power than a wrongfully removed officer faces from being unable to perform his or her statutory duty. Charming. Charming. And they do actually tip their hat. This is extraordinary that the Supreme Court in this interlocutory appeal for preliminary relief, right? This is the emergency docket, the shadow docket, right? They actually talk about the Federal Reserve chair issue. This is extraordinary because this case isn't about the Fed chair, okay? Here's the Supreme Court. Finally, the fired people argue that in this case, that this case will necessarily implicate the constitutionality of for-cause removal protections for members of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors or other members of the Federal Open Market Committee. We disagree. The Federal Reserve is a uniquely structured quasi-private entity that follows in the distinct historical tradition of the first and second banks of the United States, and so on and so forth. This is remarkable because the court is signaling, again, in this interim relief, this non-final order about a completely separate matter that, hey, Trump, you're not going to be able to fire the Fed chair. So very interesting. It's also signaling what I think most prognosticators would have guessed is an extraordinarily broad reading of executive power by this Supreme Court, right? Not surprising, but so broad as to effectively, the court is overruling what Congress placed into law requiring for-cause removals and saying, Congress did that, that's not constitutional. This is quite an extraordinary ruling, though interim from the Supreme Court. It is, again, another ruling in this slow march to this very expansive interpretation of executive power, more open to this concept of the unitary executive, which used to be some 10 years ago, extraordinarily fringe. It is fringe no longer. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn, your legal eagle and economist on the air here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join our conversation this afternoon? We got a jam-packed show for you. So much to talk about. You can always give us a buzz. Text or phone in 855-752-4845. 800-282-8557-CIVIC. I want to talk about the fact that two Israeli embassy staffers were shot to death last night after an event at the Israeli embassy. This is awful. This is disgusting. This is political violence. It is unacceptable in the United States. No matter how grave the atrocities that are occurring in Gaza, mass starvation, we're looking at most likely one of the greatest humanitarian disasters in recent history. And a president who, while he toured the Mideast in gilded palaces, accepting a $500 million plane from Qatar, signing business deals that half of which were already in place back from the Biden administration, didn't bother to stop in Gaza. This is disgusting, unacceptable, an anathema to any good faith American. And before I even got to talk about this news, my good friend John from Milwaukee, a conservative, was on the text line already saying this: the execution of the two Israeli citizens, I'll just read his text, is 100% the fault of left-wing media like 540 WAUK. The liberal media has normalized violence against conservatives and Jews. John, let me be clear here. No. No, not even a little bit. Political violence being normalized, sir, that would be the MAGA regime. That would be the insurrectionist in chief who interrupted the peaceful transition of power that resulted in the beatings of over 100 police officers who pardoned those who engaged in political violence. No, sir. No, sir. That is deeply wrong and misguided. I will say it again, political violence of any type is anathema to democracy. It is anti-American. It has no place. We resolve political differences in the ballot box and over the airwaves. Yes, rhetoric may be incendiary from time to time, John. But incendiary rhetoric is rhetoric. I have never, nor has anyone on this network, ever endorsed political violence. I wouldn't be here if any one of my colleagues did so. It is roundly condemned, as it should be, every day. The ones who have made excuses for political violence are in the MAGA regime. The ones who lied about the 2020 election to foment said political violence are on Fox News, admitting in court filings that they don't report news and that no reasonable person would ever believe the things that their commentators say because, of course, it's pure entertainment. Fox News, fake news that has paid hundreds of millions of dollars to plaintiffs because they lie. Those lies that contributed to the political violence where over 100 police officers were beaten, injured, serious brain injuries on January 6th. That is political violence. So is the violence that took the lives of these two Israeli embassy workers, two people who are about to get engaged. It is all abhorrent, and it should be condemned, John, and shame on you for trying to place the blame at the feet of people who dare question the MAGA regime and Donald Trump. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Breaking news. The man who killed those two people has been charged with first-degree murder, as well as murder of foreign officials, causing a death with a firearm, and discharging a firearm during a crime of violence, according to a court filing. 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, as we are wont to do here on this program, we started off with quite a bang, breaking some news coming out of the Supreme Court. Other breaking news today, Harvard Student and Exchange Visitor Program has been decertified, so says constitutional scholar, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem. She sent a letter to them today, and it says simply this: I am writing to inform you that effective immediately, Harvard University's Student and Exchange Visitor Program is revoked. It goes on, as one might expect. Wow. Want to take some calls before we move on here. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ellen from Cedarburg, thank you for your patience, ma'am. Welcome to the show. What would you like to share? Ellen, are you there, Ellen? Hello. I will try Ellen back again. Paul from Spooner on the text line saying it's Trump who wants to take Gaza and, put hotels up there. These are challenging times. And what I hope, though John from Milwaukee and I disagree on much, the generous reading of his texts into the show that I can provide is this. John wants to condemn political violence just like I do. And he wishes to join me in condemning the man who murdered two Israeli embassy staffers. Political violence has no place in a democracy. Full stop. That's it. There's no more to be said. And whether John, my conservative friend from Milwaukee, it's your team, if we want to divide the world into teams, whether you perceive it's my team that endorses political violence, I want you to know from me, John, and every conservative listening, me, Maggie Dawn, I condemn in every way, shape, and form political violence. It has no place in democracy, and it has no place on this program. Let's take a couple callers. We've got Jean from Eau Claire. Hi, Jean. How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I feel the same way you do. I feel the pain. And I tell you, I remember I had a hammer. Do you remember that? One of the stations in the state of Wisconsin when Pelosi's husband was assaulted. I mean, this is so sick. I've never seen, in all honesty, I'm 70 and I paid attention to my government for 20 some years live. And I have never seen, you know, the behaviors of the people with the R after their name, the megas, the hate, and going after people. I've never seen anything like this before. It is alarming. And then watching these people when they're, you know, you're the Congress, watching the House, watching the Senate, the hatred, yes, and the things that are being said and the idiocracy, it's unbelievable. And Kristi Noem, give me a break. I'm sorry, but, you know, when she writes about shooting dogs in the head, puppies, and I train hunting dogs, you just know, you train a dog, you don't shoot him in the head, a puppy. I mean, these people are unbelievable, Maggie. It's like watching a horror story. So,
I hear you, Jean. I do want to share with you all this. John and I, via the interwebs, the miracle of texting, we have had a moment of agreement. John from Milwaukee, my friend, my conservative friend, we have found agreement that we both condemn political violence in all of its shapes and forms. It has no place in a democracy. I have this to say about it, and then we're going to bring on some guests in the next segment. Political violence ends with us, with you, and with I, with me. We can do this. We can say to the extremist elements within our parties that will not be tolerated. So, John, to my conservative friends listening, let's make a commitment together to talk to our extremists, whomever you think is on your team that's out there on the edge, the fringe, engaging in political violence, threatening political violence. Let's agree, John, and all of my conservative friends, to tell them to stop. Let's reclaim the political discourse in this country. I love that John and I can disagree and that we can exchange these ideas. I count on the fact that John and I can do this and do this peacefully every day. Because the competition of ideas, the free exchange of sometimes deeply uncomfortable, yes, sometimes incendiary rhetoric, but that we all know that there is an ultimate bright line, one that we all have a responsibility to ensure is never crossed. It is all of our responsibilities, but that responsibility is exercised, it's fulfilled on a daily basis. And we fulfill that responsibility to know that in a democracy, in this American democracy, political violence will be rejected. We do that by policing our own. So we look to our own house. I think I remember some biblical verse about those who live in glass houses should be careful about throwing the stones. So to the degree anyone thinks that this murderer was emboldened by progressives or liberals, I condemn him. I condemn anyone that takes up arms in the name of political truth. My name's Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll be back with the Center for American Progress Action Fund right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers shared a letter he sent to the Trump administration in an effort to protect the state's forests and forestry industry. According to a press release, the forestry products industry helps support around 126,000 jobs and contributes an estimated $42 billion to the state's economy. Wisconsin ranks first in paper production among all 50 states and exports over $850 million worth of paper products each year. The letter urges cooperation and protection for federal forestry programs. After spending millions on the Wisconsin Supreme Court election in April, Elon Musk says he plans to spend less on political campaigns. During a virtual conference this week, Musk said he thought he had done enough political spending. He spent at least $250 million in support of President Donald Trump's campaign last year. Musk-affiliated political action committees also spent over $20 million on Judge Brad Schimel's Wisconsin Supreme Court campaign, which his liberal-backed opponent, Judge Susan Crawford, won comfortably. Construction work is officially underway on the canal near the Lake Superior Maritime Visitor Center. Officials say the construction work is meant to improve a shoreline protection system and connect the lake walk with the pier. The project is expected to cost over $3 million with funding through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. The Maritime Visitor Center and most of the pier area will remain open during construction. Work is scheduled to wrap up for the season in November, with some final work scheduled for next summer if needed. The Shell Lake Arts Center is preparing to undergo much-needed renovations to make the facility more accessible and efficient. The organization's board of directors says the initial phase of the renovation work could cost over $5 million, and they've secured more than 90% of the funding needed already. The renovations would include various upgrades to the performance spaces, restrooms, classrooms, and more. They would also see the introduction of an elevator connecting the main performance area to the classrooms for improved accessibility. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Martin Scorsese fans will have a chance to see him on the other side of the camera in a new documentary on Apple TV. Deadline reports that the famous director will be the subject of a docuseries in five parts from director Rebecca Miller. Miller is the daughter of playwright Arthur Miller and married to three-time Oscar winner Daniel Day-Lewis. In the series, Scorsese will talk about his real-life experiences and how they contributed to his masterful filmmaking. James Cameron used the old Bugs Bunny reverse psychology trick in getting Leonardo DiCaprio to sign on to Titanic, according to Deadline. When DiCaprio was considered for the part of Jack Dawson, he wanted Cameron to make the character more conflicted, similar to other roles he had played so well to that point in his career. Cameron didn't want to do that, so he presented Jack Dawson's wholesomeness as yet another challenge to DiCaprio, asking him if he thought he could pull off an unflawed character. DiCaprio took the bait, and history was made. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 40s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sun and clouds and highs in the mid-60s. Upper 60s for the holiday weekend, slight chance of rain Monday. A better chance of rain into mid-next week. It's 63 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, the big brutal bill has been passed by the House. Stay tuned to see what happens in the Senate. It sure is going to be a rocky, rocky ride. I have a fabulous guest with me next because one of the areas that I don't think has gotten enough focus is the impact of the big brutal bill and other so-called efficiency measures, what I'm going to call the billionaire overlord post-pubescent techno bro slashes, is the impact of all of these things on veterans. And it is so important as we approach Memorial Day to be hyper-focused on this. So very thankful, very privileged to be joined by Allison McManus. She is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is the managing director of their National Security and International Policy section. Prior to joining the center, Allison was the managing director at the Freedom Initiative, where she advocated for political prisoners in the Middle East and North Africa. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Allison, and thanks so much for making time. I know you're in D.C. My best wishes and condolences to the entire D.C. community. I know the embassies are embedded right within the whole Capitol framework, and it must be a really somber afternoon in Washington, D.C.
Thanks for having me, Maggie, and I really appreciate the sentiments that you offered in the last segment just about the heinous act of violence against these two embassy staffers. So appreciate your attention to this issue and you know, your audience being aware of what's happened here.
We will do our best, and we do our best together. So let's turn to veterans. We know that the campaign to basically break government and in somewhat haphazard, but also a comprehensively cruel fashion from the Trump administration, that they have targeted the Department of Veterans Affairs. Tens of thousands of folks are going to lose jobs. Let's talk specifics. What are the programs? What are some of the job eliminations, the RIFs, if you will, that have occurred specifically impacting veterans?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. I mean, you know, this is an issue that I'm really glad that you're focusing on, because there's a number of ways that we can see that the Trump administration's agenda, we tend to call it the DOGE agenda, but I liked your formulation of the tech bro billionaire consortium.
Yeah, don't forget the barely post pubescent. It's important to paint the picture for folks.
You know, it's all in there. There's a number of ways that we've seen an impact on the veteran community. And first, I just want to give a little bit of an overview of like what the needs are of the veteran community. Who are we talking about when we talk about veterans? So there's almost 16 million veterans in the United States. I know you're in Wisconsin. There's around 300,000 veterans in Wisconsin. So we're looking at around 6% of the population. Many veterans, around half, are over the age of 65. Veterans have really complex needs that differ from the rest of the population, whether these are health needs related to their service, that includes combat veterans, but any veteran, you know, may have different health needs because of the exposure that they had in their service. And then, of course, there's the mental health needs as well that are increase in a veteran community. Over 40% of veterans have been diagnosed with some kind of mental health or advanced behavioral health needs. The other thing I want to mention is veterans have complex socioeconomic needs. This is something that's often under-discussed. There's a bit of a stigma around it. One in four active duty service members are insecure. 11% of veterans, 1.2 million veterans utilize SNAP benefits. And veterans often utilize Medicaid a lot of times in as a supplement to other federally funded healthcare programs, particularly around their families.
I don't mean to be repetitive, but these statistics are worthy of repetition, Allison. Can you give us those stats about food insecurity, Medicaid usage, these other socioeconomic complexities that are frankly come together in a unique way for vets?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about Medicaid, 850,000 military members, so these are active duty members, use Medicaid in addition to TRICARE, which is the primary coverage that the military offers. That's including 220,000 children of active duty military. 3.4 million children of veterans are covered by Medicaid. So again, huge reliance on Medicaid, particularly as a supplement for military or veteran families. 1.2 million veterans live in households that utilize SNAP benefits. And this is because one in four active duty service members and 11% of veterans are classified as food insecure. Around a quarter of veterans are economically insecure, which means they may be above the poverty line, but are still not able to afford, you know, the essentials and so live in economic precarity. For a lot of veterans, for a lot of folks, joining the military can be an engine of social mobility, particularly for those who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, but it by no means suggests that you leave the military and that you don't still maybe struggle economically. So really what we have is a population that has increased needs and that is much more likely, frankly, to rely on federal benefits and as they well deserve. I mean, there's a population who has often faces these increased needs because of the sacrifices that they've made to the country. This is why the Department of Veterans Affairs exists. Over half of veterans utilize services from the VA. And again, sometimes these are healthcare services. These can be pension funds. These can be loans for housing. I'll reveal to the audience, my husband's a veteran. I'm in our home that we were able to buy with a VA loan. So there's a variety of different ways that the VA serves the veteran community. Now, sorry for that long-winded.
Is essential to the discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So just to clarify for the audience, like, why is the VA so important? Now, in terms of what we're seeing already, just want to be clear to distinguish between what's happened so far and the impact on vets versus what we see on the horizon, because it's already really bad and I'm really, really worried that this is going to get worse. So with the VA, so first of all, we've seen this DOGE agenda target federal workers across the government. Veterans constitute around 30% of the federal workforce. Some agencies have a higher proportion of veterans. Department of Defense, for instance, is almost 50%. VA is around 30%. So anytime that we hear about layoffs, anytime
picture
that we hear
a veteran.
Yeah, exactly. We can assume that this is going to impact veterans. Veterans do have some additional protections, but it doesn't mean that they're exempt from the harm to the federal workforce that we've seen across the board. At the VA, this is compounded because, of course, this means interruptions in service to vets. And so here we've seen all this flip-flopping. There's been hiring freezes. There have been layoffs. They've brought people back. It's like paralyzed the VA's ability to plan, to meet the needs. Even before the Trump administration, the Biden administration had tried to invest in making sure that the VA could meet shortfalls that it had in staffing, just to be able to meet the needs of vets. So this is an agency that was already struggling to meet the needs and now is further impacted. Just a couple of examples of where this has caused harm already. The Veterans Crisis Line, this is like a last line of defense for veterans who are in crisis. This is a life-saving group of folks who are facing now this decreased efficiency, spread thin, and this is actually impacting the efficacy of the Veterans Crisis Line to be able to meet the needs of those who are calling in. That's like an immediate harm. In the long term, we're also seeing the impact on research and development. So these are life-saving measures that can have impact far into the future, and not only for veterans, but a lot of the research that comes out that's funded by the VA, including things like CAT scans, the nicotine patch. These are breakthroughs that benefit the American people writ large. So this is like, we are already seeing that there's been impacts. And now what the administration's proposing, an additional 80,000 personnel that might be cut. So we could estimate that there's like been around 5,000 that have either been laid off or who have left the VA. We're already seeing what the harm is there. Multiply that to 80,000. This is absolutely going to be devastating to the services that veterans receive.
It's folks, this is Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's the managing director of their National Security and International Policy Group. I don't even want to, I always hesitate to even address the efficiency question, Allison, but efficiency means delivering the services or product that you need to deliver in the most cost-effective, you know, least amount of inputs required, right? What you have when you devastate workforces and defund massive programs is you do not have efficiency, you have destruction. And that's what's happening. It started, right, with the 5,000. I worked for a long time in government, and I know well our department's level of efficiency. And when we had major upticks in work, how incredibly stressed and burnout was an actual thing. I know folks that work in the VA. Burnout is an actual thing. My mom was a nurse in the VA. Burnout was an actual thing then. And we're about to see one of the largest layoffs in our nation's history out of the VA alone.
Stunning. Yeah.
We're coming up on time here, Allison. Can you hang around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to.
Perfect. And thank goodness. This is so important. I do not want to rush. Folks, again, we've got Allison McManus. We're talking about the Trump administration's chainsaw to the systems and benefits that help support veterans in this country. Such an important discussion to have as we are approaching Memorial Day. Of course, Allison generously sharing that her husband has served. So really excited to have you with us. So we're looking at on the horizon the 80,000 potential additional layoffs on top of the 5,000. We're going to dig into what else is on the horizon. We're going to look at the hundreds of thousands of disabled vets and how the big, brutal bill might be impacting them. All of this still to come. Keep it locked, because I know everybody listening knows at least one vet and cares deeply about them. If you do, keep it locked. This wonderful discussion continues on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Very thankful because our fantastic guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Allison McManus, stuck around for a little bit extra, a little overtime with Allison, if you will. Allison, we've got 280,000 vets here in the state of Wisconsin at 6% of our population. We've been talking about what is still coming from the Trump administration that will impact vets? And that's not even to mention, again, as you did, all of these unique needs of veterans, the cuts that have already been made, as well as the fact that just vets are 30% of the federal workforce. And if you view it from the flip side, if we look at vets overall, 11% of vets have worked in federal government. So from either way, it's a huge proportion. What's coming? You talked about 80,000 potential additional layoffs. What else?
Yeah, so thanks, Maggie. Again, the layoffs, I think, are a huge concern, and particularly given, you know, not only the high proportion, not only the proportion of vets that are in Wisconsin, but also the fact that the VA operates all across the state. For sure, we can expect to see an impact there. You know, I have to talk about this horrendous bill right now that's moving through Congress. Donald Trump likes to call this the big, beautiful bill. What does he consider beautiful? That's taking away Medicaid benefits. That's taking away SNAP benefits for the most vulnerable. And that includes military members. So 3.4, I mentioned this earlier, 3.4 million children of veterans are covered by Medicaid. 1.2 million veterans rely on SNAP benefits. That will for sure impact veteran families in Wisconsin. And why are we seeing that congressional Republicans and the Trump administration want to push this bill through? Of course, it's to facilitate tax cuts for the wealthy. So, you know, really here, we're not seeing this as anything related to efficiency. It's quite cruel. And I have to mention, you know, it's really beyond the pale to think about taking these benefits away from vulnerable veterans at a time where Trump is planning to spend $45 million to throw himself a birthday parade that's going to be on the backs of the military community. It's truly beyond the pale. The only last thing that I'll mention is just need to make a note, and I know, Maggie, because this is an issue that you care about, is that for the LGBTQI veteran community and for the LGBTQI active duty community, this is a group that has already suffered enormously. They've been disparaged despite, you know, serving the country honorably by the likes of the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. This is also a community who has advanced complex healthcare needs, and so will be disproportionately affected again.
Thank you so very much, Allison. I look forward to talking with you again, perhaps focusing a bit the next time on the Mideast and the ongoing situation in Israel and Gaza. Thanks so much. That's Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And with that, I will bring out my special next guest, Jeremy. It's been a hot minute. So glad to have you back. It's Jeremy Janine, president and co-founder, contributor at UrbanMilwaukee.com. As goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. We are a microcosm. And Jeremy, this wasn't a microcosm. This was the whole big shooting match. The RNC, we finally have some actual numbers about the RNC's impact here in the state and Milwaukee. Tell us about it.
There's a couple key numbers. I know we only have a couple minutes, so I'm going to kind of drill down and stay with me. $321 million. Mm. That's the RNC host committee and Visit Milwaukee Commission report. They say that's the total economic impact. We then drill down further, $216 million in direct spending. So that's the money that you can actually find. If you went and actually commissioned a report, you can find somewhere $216 million being spent. The as goes Wisconsin, Milwaukee's microcosm point I want to get to is $75 million. So almost half of that $200 million in direct spending is a federal grant that paid for security. Well, how does that relate to Wisconsin? Because when you think about the Milwaukee economic impact, this was an event that had 4,000 some police officers. Milwaukee doesn't have half that many police officers. Many of those people came from across Wisconsin. That $75 million went to pay police officers in La Crosse, Janesville, Fond du Lac, Appleton. They all brought that money home with them, probably at a premium rate because it was probably overtime work. And that money is now finding its way across Wisconsin. So if you're asking yourself, did the RNC benefit me? It's possible that money's in your community. There's lots of other questions we can now raise. The big one for me is if you look at sales tax collections in Milwaukee County in 2023 versus 2024, they actually went down during the RNC, and I think that's concerning.
Say that last part again. So as compared to 2023, Milwaukee collected less sales tax during the... What, did these people not buy anything? What the hell was happening?
Well, this gets into the thing the report doesn't touch on at all. We know this $216 million was spent. What we don't know is what wasn't spent. It wasn't if Milwaukee was going to be empty in that moment. There was always going to be a baseline of spending. I wear right. This other hat as a gift shop owner. We did, and we're downtown, we were close to the Pfister Hotel. We did well that week. We had a phenomenal last day of the RNC, but comparing it to the baseline in July, it's not like we went from zero to 100, we went from 90 to 100. So, okay, our sales tax collection went up. But if you look at restaurants at Bayview across the rest of the city, they're universally reporting bad sales during that period. And I think you're seeing that played out in the data.
Jeremy, thank you so much for explaining this. Milwaukee is microcosm, because when I saw the headline, I was like, ain't nobody I know that gets tips, speaking of tips, or nobody that I know that works in restaurants, bars, or owns them thought it was some great boon. They were all sorely disappointed, but I'm never disappointed when you join me, Jeremy. Thank you so much. Have a fabulous Memorial Day weekend, my friend. He'll be back next week. Coming up next, we continue our lead up to Memorial Day. We'll be joined by two gentlemen from the Disabled American Veterans. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Suspected shooter Elias Rodriguez has been arraigned in court today, accused of gunning down two Israeli embassy staff members last night after leaving an event at a Jewish museum in Washington, D.C. Acting U.S. Attorney Janine Pirro says the murder and gun charges are just the beginning.
The defendant Rodriguez is also charged with two counts of murder in the first degree for both Yaron Leshinsky along with 26-year-old Sarah Lynn Milgram of Kansas.
Authorities say after the shooting, the suspect started chanting a pro-Palestinian phrase. The FBI now investigating the suspect's online writings. In California, two people are dead after a plane crashed into a military housing unit and San Diego neighborhood. Authorities say no one on the ground was killed, but eight others were injured. Fewer Americans filed for weekly jobless claims. Applications fell by 2,000 last week compared to the week before. This is ABC News.